When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is an RNZ podcast.
Kia ora, and welcome to Elemental from RNZ. I'm Alan Blackman from the Auckland University of Technology.
And I'm Alison Balance, and we are up to episode 80 already. My, how time flies when you're having fun with chemistry. Yeah. Especially such tantalisingly named chemical elements as, ta-da, tantalum.
I see what you did there, Alison. Very good.
Did you like it?
Yes, indeed. Tantalum. Okay, so this element was named after Tantalus, who was the father of Niobe, after who niobium was named, if you recall that particular episode. And I'd have to say I'd always wondered where the word tantalising came from. So speaking of tantalising, Tantalus was condemned, in fact, to eternal hunger and thirst by the Greek gods. He had to stand in a lake under a fruit tree whose fruit he could see, but it would move away from him when he reached for it. And similarly, the water around him would recede whenever he tried to drink it.
Oh, it's making me feel thirsty.
You might think this is a bit rough. And why on earth did he get this particular punishment from the gods? The reason was because he actually served his son up to the gods for dinner.
Right.
They had some good stories, the Greeks, didn't they?
They did. But why did the element deserve to be named after tantalum, since it hadn't served its son or even its daughter up for dinner?
This is slightly tenuous, I guess, but seemingly because the discoverer, the Swede Anders Ekeberg, thought that the element, quote, when placed in the midst of acids, is incapable of taking any of them up and saturating itself with them. So,
right,
as I say, tenuous connection there.
Mm-hmm.
So, a little bit about tantalum. It is almost always found in combination with niobium. They are both in group 5 of the periodic table. And, in fact, they are very, very difficult to separate. So, vital statistics. The chemical symbol tantalum, Ta. The atomic number is 73, and so that puts it sort of to the left-ish of the periodic table in amongst the transition metals, and it was discovered in the year 1802. Now, chemically, it's very, very inert, and in fact, it appears to have taken nearly 100 years since the identification of tantalum as a compound to obtain the pure metal.
Crikey. So if it's so inert and joined at the hip with niobium, does it have any useful features?
Well, like all elements, it's got something going for it. So tantalum has the third highest melting point of all the metals. It's nearly 3,000 degrees. And this was, in fact, one of the reasons why it was tried as a filament for an incandescent light bulb in 1905. However, another metal which we have yet to meet, and I'm sure which everybody knows about, was found to be better. So tantalum was ditched in favour of that. Another thing that crops up a lot on Elemental, tantalum was used in the obligatory fountain pen nibs. Seems
of
a lot of metals. Yes. A lot of metals seem to have been, or a lot of elements, in fact, seem to have been used in fountain pen nibs. But, in fact, tantalum's use was superseded by more precious metals. While alloys containing tantalum often find use in situations where you need strength, you need hardness, and you need corrosion resistance. So, for example, in things like nuclear reactors and jet engines and stuff like that. Very, very usefully, in fact, the metal is totally inert to bodily fluids, and it's completely tolerated by the body. And so tantalum, in fact, finds a lot of use in both surgical instruments and implants. Despite these uses, tantalum's most important use, in fact, is in capacitors. These are electronic components that store charge. And tantalum capacitors are found in pretty much every electronic device. However, there is a catch.
Which is what exactly? It was finally starting to sound useful.
Yes, well, it is. But the problem with the whole tantalum capacitor thing is where the tantalum actually derives from. So in the year 2000, 45% of the world's tantalum came from Australia. But in 2014, only 4% did. And so much of the world's tantalum now comes from Rwanda, which is okay, and the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is not okay. Because of the latter country, the element tantalum has in fact been classified as a conflict mineral. And that's a mineral obtained from a conflict zone whose proceeds go to prolong the fighting. And the most common conflict minerals are in fact tin, tungsten and tantalum. An alliterative trio, if you will. And all of these are mined in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. And if I may be political for a second, anytime you have to put the word democratic in a name of a country, you can be very, very sure it probably isn't. Anyway, sorry, back to...
Back on track, sir.
Back on track, yes, yes. So there's a thing called the Dodd-Frank Act in the USA, and that was initiated in 2010, and that required US companies such as Apple and Intel and HP and anybody else who might use tantalum to actually trace the source of their tantalum. Sad to say, the current president actually repealed some of this law last year.
Okay, so chemically useful, politically difficult.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Do you think you could dredge up a final interesting fact about tantalum?
Okay, so a compound with the chemical formula TAC, otherwise known as tantalum carbide, has what is possibly the second highest melting point of any known material. And that's a melting point of 3,768 degrees Celsius, and that was measured by researchers at Imperial College London in the year 2016. And so this means that tantalum carbide has obvious uses in things like spacecraft heat shields.
To space and beyond, with the help of chemistry. Yet another heat-proof elemental episode, which you can find again at rnz.co.nz/chemistry. Or at most podcast providers. We are back next week with technetium, whatever that is. But until then, it's goodbye from me, Alison Balance.
And me, Alan Blackman. Nga te wa.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.